Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. For our meditation this morning from John, the Gospel of John in the 12th chapter, we read these words, "So they took the palm branches and went out to meet him, crying out, 'Hosanna!'" Someone once commented that this day on the church calendar has become El Camino Sunday. You remember the El Camino? Did anybody have an El Camino? Nobody? See, that was the problem with the El Camino. See? Bill Clinton had one. He said he put AstroTurf in the back, and then he said, "You don't want to know why." But the intent of the El Camino was to offer a hybrid between the comfy ride of a sedan and the hauling capacity of a pickup truck. But in trying to do too much, the El Camino ended up being something of an ugly duckling, and it never really caught on all that big until it was finally discontinued in 1987. Well, over the past 10 or 15 years or so, this Sunday on the church calendar has become something of a hybrid, like the El Camino. It used to be this was just Palm Sunday, and only Palm Sunday. But more and more we refer to this day now as the Passion Sunday, or sometimes Palm / Passion Sunday. And the reason for the hybridization of this Sunday is, well, that the midweek services that commemorate the Passion of the Christ, especially Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, are not as well attended as they once were. And why that is anybody's guess. People are busier these days. We aren't accustomed to attending evening services. The culture is not Christian anymore, so our workplaces and our schools and our sports leagues no longer honor or respect our holy days. The whole rhythm of society is not set up anymore to accommodate midweek worship services. And other people suggest that the somberness of the Holy Week services is too much of a downer in a culture that savors a more upbeat, happy-clappy kind of religion, as my father-in-law liked to call it. Well, whatever the reason is, the effect is that there are a lot of Christians who end up leapfrogging from the exuberant pomp of Palm Sunday right to the celebration of Easter, and they miss all of that hard stuff in between. And that's the theological rub. That Christians who jump from one party Sunday to another are going to miss the sad but essential events of the Passion. And in doing so, they may develop a warped faith. A faith that does not comprehend the weight of our sin. A faith that does not appreciate the magnitude and the depth of the love and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and a faith which will wilt in the face of hardship and tragedy and difficulty. Because after all, if your worship life is just suggests that the life of faith is all party and no pain, what's going to happen when the party ends? And the pain kicks in. Is your faith going to hold up under those circumstances? Are you going to have the strength to carry your cross with Jesus? So to ensure that everybody gets a proper balance, even those who leapfrog from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday and skip Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, to be sure everyone gets a proper balance, this Sunday has kind of morphed into a Palm / Passion Sunday. But the question I have is this. By hybridizing this Sunday, are we like the El Camino trying to do too much? You know, maybe we ought to do one or the other. Let's do Palm Sunday or let's do the Passion Sunday. I don't know where it's all headed. Maybe we're going to drop Palm Sunday altogether eventually, and this Sunday will be the Sunday of the Lord's Passion, so that everybody is sure to get a clear picture of what our faith is all about. Maybe that's where things are heading. I don't know. But you know what? Personally, I would really miss Palm Sunday. Because to my thinking, what is the week of the Passion, the Holy Week, if we don't begin that week with the shout of Hosanna, Save us, we pray. That's what Hosanna means. Save us, we pray. Save us, they shouted, as they were waving those palm branches in anticipation of the victory that Messiah was going to win for them over their enemies. What better prayer is there to begin this Holy Week than that prayer? Hosanna, save us, we pray. There was one pastor who asked his 7th and 8th grade class an interesting question. He said, you know, salvation implies that you're going to be saved from something. So what do you think Jesus saves us from? And the first two answers the kids came up with were hell and death. And the pastor wondered if they were giving those answers because they thought that's what he wanted to hear. Those are good answers. But he wondered if it was just for his sake they answered that way. And then things started to get interesting and maybe a little more genuine, because one of the students offered that she hoped that God would save her from an upcoming math test, and everybody kind of chuckled at that. But then it got a little more serious, and one seventh grader said, pressure. I want to be saved from all the pressure I feel. And then another one piped up and said, I want to be saved from everyone's expectations of me. And then an eighth grader, a shy kid in class, said, I want to be saved from my fear. And it strikes me that while Christ does indeed save us from hell and death and sin, those other answers that those kids gave are more in line with the atmosphere of Palm Sunday, with what that crowd was thinking and feeling. Those folks who lined that path for Jesus on Palm Sunday, they weren't concerned that day about sin and death and hell. They just wanted to be saved from the occupying armies of the Roman Empire. That's why you'll often hear a sermon on Palm Sunday to the effect that it's critical of that crowd for being so small-minded. The sermon goes something like this. Jesus wants to save us from our sins, and all they can think about is being saved from the Roman Empire. How petty of those people. But I don't think that's a fair criticism. For those poor folks, the pressure of living under foreign oppression and the expectations imposed upon them by the Roman Empire and the fear of their enemy, those were the real life consequences of sin in their world, in their lives, as they experienced it, and they were tired of it and they wanted to be delivered from it, just like those 7th and 8th graders wanted to be delivered from their fear and from the pressure and from the expectations. And we should be so honest with our Lord. Yes, to say that Jesus saves us from our sins is very good. Of course, He does. But that's kind of an abstract answer. Kind of hard to get your mind around. What exactly does it mean to be saved from your sins? But when it comes to the real life consequences of sin in my life, like fear and pressure, now you're talking about something I can relate to. Hosanna, save me, Lord, from the fear and the pressure I feel every day. Hosanna, Lord, save me from my own foolishness. Save me from my cancer. Save me from my depression and my debt and my family strife. Save me from my boredom and my humiliation. Save me from the gossipers who are tearing me down. Save me from the bitterness in my heart. Save me from wondering why I even exist. Save me, Lord. Hosanna, save me from my grief, from my arrogance, from my loneliness, from my guilt. Hosanna, save me, God, from my fear. Please, God, take all of these broken pieces of my life that sin has shredded and make me whole again. Save us, we pray. Hosanna. And when I ask the Lord to deliver me from those kinds of things, I've never mentioned the word sin. And yet, am I not asking in my own way to be delivered from sin? Sin as I have experienced it in my life? What does it mean to be saved from sin? But to find relief and deliverance from all that sin has done to shatter my life. which is precisely what Jesus rode into Jerusalem to do. The good news is that Jesus, in going the way of sorrows and of death, answers that prayer. By saving us from our sins and from death and hell, He does save us from our fears, from our loneliness, from our depression, from our sorrow, from our family strife, from our diseases, and from every other terrible consequence of sin. So it seems to me there is no better way to commence Holy Week than with palms in our hands and with the shouts of Hosanna on our lips, fully anticipating the victory that God's Son wins for us at the cross and at the tomb. The victory He wins for us over our fears, over our diseases, over our heartaches and our sorrows and our trials and our worries and our money problems, over every vestige of sin in our lives. He wins the victory. And as for this El Camino Sunday, well, we waved our palms and we've read the Passion. We've done it both. But today I've taken my chances with the sermon, and I've made it primarily a Palm Sunday sermon, with the prayer that you will not leapfrog from here to Easter and miss the Passion of the Christ in between. But as Christ came to us in the flesh and walks with us in our sorrows, let us go all the way with Him in His sorrows, and all the way to the cross and the tomb, praying, Hosanna. Save us, we pray. And let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we need You to rescue us from the depths. Please do what You have always done when Your people cry out, Hosanna. Please save us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May God's peace, which is beyond understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.